Excellent. Wow, there we are. Awesome. Wonderful. If you've got a Bible, if you'd like to turn to the clean pages, it's the Old Testament, the clean pages, Exodus chapter 3-ish. All right, so Exodus chapter 3, great part of the book. It's part of this full of incredible stories that we look at and think, wow, what's going on there? There's some wonderful, wonderful things that happened. In the previous chapter, in Exodus chapter 2, at the very end of the chapter, this is what it says. The God's people are crying out to him because they're slaves and they're having a harsh time. And this is what it says in chapter 2 and verse 24. God heard, he remembered his promise to the people, and he knew it was time to act. I love that. God hears, he remembers his promise, and he knows it's time to stump up and act, to actually do something about it, right? So we don't pray, when we pray like this, we don't pray to a God that doesn't hear, we don't pray to a God that doesn't act, and we don't pray to a God that doesn't care. He hears, he cares, and he acts. And sometimes he doesn't act according to our timetable. Anybody else feel like that? Like, is it just me? Like, come on, God, get with the program. You know what I mean? It's like, come on. You know, and he's not ruled by my schedule. He has his own timetable schedule, and I have to figure out how to submit my timetables and my impatience to his. But he starts to act. Now, what's happened so far is that these people, this whole people who live under the promise of God, have ended up being slaves. They've cried out to God and said, God, set us free. Anybody ever feel like they're a slave to their finance and slave to their job and slave to their habits and slave to their circumstances and slave to their husband? So you book a trip to Rwanda or something, I don't know. Uganda, sorry, not Rwanda, that's next one. You're slave to your wife, you're running around, you're slave to things, and we cry out to God and say, God, like, what's going on? I'm supposed to live in freedom, but I'm enslaved to this, I'm a slave to fear, I'm a slave to habits. And God sends them this man called Moses. When God sends them this man called Moses to lead them from slavery and from captivity, Moses tries to do God's job for him. Now, we are really good at that. We try to do God's job. We try to be little g gods, to rule our own environment, to bring everything that we can under our control. And when he does that, like everybody else, he totally screws up and he has a bad day at the office and he ends up killing somebody. That's not a small mistake, right? That's not just like a paper cut. This is murder, right? He murders somebody because he's trying to do God's job in his own strength. And when we try to do what God asks us to do in our own strength, we end up doing more damage. And that's just the way it is. In our human efforts, we generally do more damage. And because he's killed this guy, he buries the body in the desert. And runs off, hides. And then we find him in chapter 3. We find him hiding. His birth, his call, all of those wonderful things. And then all of a sudden we turn up in chapter 3. Now my Bible, the Bible in the New Living Translation, the chapter 3, some of you may have the same words, maybe slightly different, but my Bible starts with one day. I love it when chapters start with one day. It seems so random, all right? And I just love that, all right? It's not a special day. It's just one normal day. This guy, Moses, who's run away from God, is tending the flocks that belong to his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. The sheep that he's looking after don't even belong to him. So this is a hardworking guy, but at the moment, like, he's looking after somebody else's stuff. He's not even running his own company. Right, this is a guy who's just out there running around looking after somebody else's flocks. But listen, look where he is. Check in your Bible, make sure I'm not lying. All right, he led the flock far into the wilderness. In different translations, it says this, that he took them to the backside of the desert. Right, now I don't know what backside means in Canada, but I know what backside means in England. Right. You never want to be near the backside, right? You just don't want to be there. So this guy's in a nasty place in the desert, right? He's in a desert. Desert's backside. Right? That's where he is, all right? He's in a backside desert. But where is he next to? Anybody got anything else written there? He came to where? Sinai, the what? The mountain of God. Isn't that bizarre? He's leading the flocks in the middle of the backside of the desert, the worst part of the desert, and he ends up at the mountain of God. Now, why does he end up there? Because he cannot get away from the call of God. It doesn't matter where you run in your life. If God's chasing you, if God's got his hand on your life, which he's chasing us all at different stages, it doesn't matter where you go, you will find yourself coming back in contact with the mountain of God. You'll find it. You may not wonder, well, why the heck am I in church this morning? It's sunny outside. I should be on the lake fishing. Right? That's where, you know, I should be out paddling. I should be out mountain biking. But somehow you're in church and you ask yourself, well, why? Well, because God's got his hooks in you, and it doesn't matter where you go on this planet, at some different points in your life, you're going to find yourself bumping back into the mountain of God. It will happen. And that's what happens with this guy. Even though he's in the middle of the desert looking after somebody else's sheep, he winds up with the whole desert to choose from at the foot of the mountain of God. Trying to outrun the call of God on his life, which is a futile thing to do, but we spend lots of time in our life trying to do it. And all of a sudden, he meets a hero. The hero's name is Bush. Right? Like, not George W., a better one. All right? He meets his hero in the middle of the... Now, why do I call him... Why do I call this Bush a hero? Well, just listen. It's just wonderful. I get so excited about this encounter with this bush. He sees this bush, and it's on fire. Why does he go and look at it? Because how many bushes has this guy seen in his life, do you think? Lots. Thank you. Right. So lots. None of these are trick questions. So how many bushes? Like thousands he's walked past. But this one is different. Something marks out this bush as different. Now, that's a hint to me. Because, you see, in my life and in your life, we are pressured all the time, even though we think that we're all wonderfully individualistic, but we're not. We all like to act the same and blend in. This is a reminder to me not to blend in. This guy was not attracted to this bush because it looked the same as all the others. He was attracted to this bush because it didn't blend in. It stuck out in a crowd. Now, there's a band, a group of worship guys that go by the name of Blue Tree. And they named themselves Blue Tree because they said, how weird would that be if you were walking through the forest and you saw a blue tree? Because trees are generally green, and that tree would stand out. And they took the name from this story, a tree that stood out from all the others. So they call himself Blue Tree. And those are the guys that wrote The God of the City, that wonderful song that people sing. So they call themselves Blue Tree. This tree was on fire. It stood out. And because it stood out, it was attractive to a man. And he came across and he looked at it to see this strange sight. Now, the strange sight that this bush was on fire, it wasn't strange because it was on fire. It was strange because even though it was on fire, it wasn't consumed. And it says that in the text. Even though it was on fire, it wasn't burnt up. Now, we have to stop here. Like, because if we don't, we miss the significance of what's happening. So I have some questions for you. And again, they're not trick questions. Any idea what is a bush made out of? Right, that's your last answer. So a bush is made out of bushness. All right, it's made out of wood. Right, it's made out of wood. Now, what does wood symbolize in the Bible? Anybody, any ideas? What wood might symbolize in the Bible? Strength? The cross? Yeah? What else? Life? Begins with M and ends with ankind. Yeah. Humanity. One of the meanings of wood and symbolisms of wood in the Bible is humanity. That's why the cross is so wonderful. The Ark of the Covenant is a wonderful picture all the way through the Bible. The Ark of the Covenant is made of acacia wood, humanity overlaid with pure gold. overlaid with pure gold, carries the presence of God on it. A cross on a hill outside Jerusalem. Humanity covered with Christ, pure gold, the carrier of God. The same symbol as the Ark of the Covenant. It's the same pattern over and over and over again, all the way through the Bible. Never changes. So you have humanity. This humanity. Now this humanity, this bushness. Now if you want some scripture to back up that, because some of you will, and it's a good thing to have. So Isaiah 55 verse 1 says, we are what? We are trees of righteousness planted by God. Right? Is that Isaiah 51? Is that, no, trees of the field. No, that's Isaiah 51, 55 verse 1 is clap their hands, right? Trees of the field will clap their hands, right? So how many people know that trees don't have hands? So who claps their hands? Humans. Isaiah 63 verse something, 1-ish, is we are trees of righteousness planted by God. Right, so we have these hints all the way through the Bible to what it means to be a tree of righteousness. So you have wood, this wooden thing that's standing. There's a wonderful story in Mark chapter 8 verse 24 where Jesus heals the blind man. Remember the story? He heals him and he goes to him and he wipes the clay off his eyes and he says to him, "What do you see?" Do you remember his answer?
Yeah.
What does he say?
"I see men like trees."
I see men like trees. You see, look for Jesus all the way through the Old Testament. He's there, crops up all over the place. And the things that he says are rooted in the Old Testament because he knows the stories of the Old Testament and he's rooted in what he does in the Old Testament. And when this guy, he wipes his eyes at that and he says, "I see men like trees. I see men like trees." Wow. We are trees of righteousness planted by God. It's one of the only times in the whole Bible where Jesus has to touch somebody twice. Just a wonderful, wonderful story. We don't have time to go into it. It's a great, great story that happens. But you have this thing cropping up all the time in trees. Now the tree, this wood, is on fire, but it's not consumed. Now what does fire stand for in the Bible? Two words. First. Yeah, okay, there. Excellent. Okay, so Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2, verse 3, right? When the people are gathered together in the room, what appears on their heads? It looks like little flames. On their heads. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11-ish, somewhere around there. John the Baptist says this. He says, "If someone is coming after me, whose sandals I am not fit to tie up, and he will baptize you with fire." You'll baptize with fire. And you think, okay, why fire? Well, it's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So you've got humanity on fire with the Holy Spirit. Now listen, sometimes we're afraid of the Holy Spirit. Because we think it's going to make us weird. No, I'm serious, right? We think it's going to make you a flake, right? I'm going to want to run. Like, listen. What damage do the flames do to this wood? That's a hint. When the Holy Spirit is in our life, He does not damage us. He doesn't consume you. He doesn't burn you. He doesn't damage you. He won't wreck you. He will just make you more attractive. Incredible. Moses walking along, looking after somebody else's sheep. He sees a bush on fire and he goes and has a look. If the Holy Spirit of God is living in us, it won't make us weird. He doesn't make us weird. He just makes us more attractive. Isn't that great? Just think of the money that we could save on the potions that we put on our faces. Rubbing oil of ulay all over yourself. You could save fortune. Just get more of the Holy Spirit. Make you more attractive. Right? And so Moses goes across to look at this incredible sight. Can you imagine in heaven when God says, "I've got a job. It's an incredibly important job. I'm looking for some shrubbery. We need some shrubs. Get some shrubbery. I want a shrub. And there's a little bush in the middle. Take me, pick me. Okay, where's the assignment? Where am I going to be planted? Where are you going to send me? Oh, to the backside of the desert. Could you send somebody else? Like I'm more of an indoor plant. You know, not really. Yes, a desert sounds harsh. Like, can you just send? Could you send somebody? I'd like to be involved, but really, I just don't think that's my call. Like, you know, there's goats. There's all that harshness. There's wind. There's sun. Oh, I'd burn. I'd burn up. Like, just don't send me there. And God says, you talk about burning. Actually, I've got another thing for you. What's that? I'm going to set you on fire. Can you imagine that? Well, all right. Well, yeah, but it's an important job. You got to. Well, okay. So how many people am I going to talk to? How many thousands of people I'm going to talk to? Oh, just one. Just one. Just one. Happens to be Moses, the leader of a nation, but you're just going to talk to one. At this moment, he's not a leader of anything apart from somebody else's sheep. God puts this little bush in the middle of the desert, this representation of humanity in the middle of the desert, sets it on fire, and God speaks to one man through a burning bush. God speaks. God speaks to one man through a burning bush. Wow. And I think, how many people do I meet where God is telling me to speak, where God is telling me to be the person he's planted me to be? And I think, and he says, like, Phil, will you burn for me today? I'm having a bad leaf day. I just don't. Could you please just burn for me a bit? Well, I might smolder a bit. I'm not really feeling. No, Phil, I need you to burn for me today. Why? Well, I'm only meeting one person. It doesn't matter. They may change the course of a whole nation. Now, the wonderful thing about this story is that nowhere in the Bible does it ever tell you this bush goes out. Like, really? I'm thinking, isn't that bizarre? So maybe when we get to heaven, there's going to be this little bush sitting in the corner just burning away. And he goes, so were you there? Yeah. I spoke to Moses. it was me. Can somebody please put me out? Like, I'm smoking the place up. I'm not even sure you're allowed to smoke in heaven. Like, I'm smoking the place up. And so, like, this bush is burning there. My point is this. God has put us in this valley. God has planted us here for a time, right? For different times in our lives. And he's put us here and he says, listen, I want you to burn for me. Well, burn where? On a Sunday morning? Ish. But I heard a story the other day about Mark. He doesn't know what it sounds. I heard a story about somebody who was in a class that Mark was teaching once in the school. And during the class, they got injured. It wasn't Mark's fault. It was the child's fault. Well, nothing to do, right? And so in the middle of the classroom, which really is not like church, right? More like a prison, right? Like controlled prison environment with a security guard. And in the middle of that, Mark decides not just to do anything normal, but rather to pray for the person that's down. Be a burning bush where he is. What a great idea. How about going to Uganda and being a burning bush? Now, the wonderful thing is, I don't have to buy a plane ticket to be a burning bush. I can be a burning bush wherever I am, meeting whoever God brings across my path. As long as I allow him to take humanity and fill it with the fire of the Holy Spirit. As long as I allow him to do that. And like I say, it doesn't turn me into a flake, doesn't turn me into somebody who's weird, but it does turn me into somebody who says, God, I know what my plans are for today, but what's your plans? I know what I'm going to do, and I'm going to go about, like, today, after today, I'm going to go and eat some stuff, because I need to eat, and I'm going to put some petrol in my car, and take out a mortgage to fill the tank, and then I'm going to drive at some point this afternoon, drive home to my wife. That's my plan. Then we're going to go for a walk. We'll visit the grandkids. There'll be intergalactic mayhem in our backyard. That's what will happen, right? But that's my plan. Now, along that, okay, God, what's your plan in all that? Who am I going to meet when I eat? Who am I going to meet when I put petrol in the car? Who am I going to drive past on the highway? Like, who else am I going to meet when I'm walking around my neighborhood? Who am I going to meet? Who is God going to bring across my path? Who is God going to bring across your path this week? And you might be sitting there thinking, well, it really wouldn't matter who God brings across my path because I don't think I carry God anyway. Well, maybe it was time you did. Maybe it was time you asked God, God, I'm fed up with just living a desert existence. I'm fed up with just being humanity. Humanity is a wonderful thing, but I do wish you'd fill me with the desire to be more. I do wish you'd fill me full of your life. I do wish you'd fill me, pray rather than wish. I do wish that you'd fill me with this thing that I've heard about called the Holy Spirit that brings life and makes me more attractive. I do wish you'd do that. But as we go from here today, let's be determined, wherever we are, that we would be a burning bush. That whoever meets us comes away having not just heard normal gossip and conversation, but comes away having heard something from God. And we don't have to stop and get weird about it, but just let our conversation be about the King of Kings. Let our conversation be about who He is in our life. And as Jim and Gail go zooming around the country and driving all over the place and setting up in campsites and stuff like that, that they would have people who meet with them, and as they walk away from them thinking, didn't our hearts burn in us when we chatted with them? Didn't something just... When I met that person, they weren't just down and like everybody else. There just seemed to be something else about them. There seemed to be something else. And that seemed to be something else is the presence of the living God in our hearts. That's what it is. And in the whole of our being. So if you don't mind, would you stand with me? And I'm going to pray that God will make us a bunch of burning bushes. That don't do damage, but only bring life. That don't do damage, they only bring life. So Father, in Jesus' name, I confess to you my need to be set on fire for you more and more every single day. Father, the situations we face in our homes, our families, our places of work, we need you, our friend, Holy Spirit, we need you. Help us not to be weird, but to be people filled supernaturally natural. Naturally supernatural about what we do. Father, that you would fill us with your life, that you'd fill us with your strength, you'd fill us with your word, the word of God, so that when we speak to other people, they come away refreshed. Just like Moses had this incredible encounter and was never the same again. Father, we pray for Romy. She goes again. We pray that she would be a burning bush in many people's lives. We pray for Jim and Gail as they go and they travel around the country having a great time together, enjoying each other's company, enjoying your creation, that they would be a burning bush for other people that they meet. And we pray for ourselves that as we go about our lives this week, that you would interrupt the busyness and you would let us be people who are a burning bush to people who are around us. Fill us today again with your anointing, with your presence, with your freshness and with your spirit as we go about what we do. And Father, if we're here this morning and we feel like just dry bushes that are in the middle of a desert with no life in us, please give us the courage that it takes to ask someone to pray for us and to confess our need to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Keep us safe. Amen.